The Dow plunged more than 1,000 points at opening today over fears of the global spread of COVID-19, the disease caused by the new coronavirus. South Korea's president called its new cases 231 today, unprecedented and powerful. The total there is 833. In Italy, there are 142 cases. Also today, the World Health Organization, the WHO, held a press conference. Dr. Michael Ryan, executive director of the WHO's emergency program, said the spread of COVID-19 is not a pandemic, but also said the world isn't ready for a pandemic. We're still trying to avoid that reality, avoid that eventuality, he said. What does that mean? Let's bring back Larry Gostin, a professor of global health law at Georgetown and director of the WHO's Center on Global Health. Larry, professor, start with that statement. It's not a pandemic yet. Many people may not even know what a pandemic is. So what does that statement mean?
I mean, it's actually quite meaningless. In the same statement, Mike Ryan said that we have to foresee that we're not going to be able to contain this very easily, or if not at all. Whether you define it as a pandemic is just a form of terminology. WHO doesn't even have power to declare a pandemic. The key here is that there are appearing to be sustained community transmissions in Asia, in Europe, and also in Iran. We're on the precipice of a major spread globally.
You're saying kind of forget that word, because why? We should be concerned anyway, regardless?
Yes, we should be concerned anyway. And, you know, whether it meets the threshold of a pandemic or not, it would not surprise me if it were an all-out pandemic fairly soon. But remember, we shouldn't panic, because pandemics can affect different places in different ways. The United States is highly capable. Our state and local health departments, the U.S. CDC, is literally the best in the world. It is possible for us to contain it. And also remember, it's not a highly fatal disease. We shouldn't overreact.
When we spoke to you in early February, you were a voice warning against those massive quarantines. You said they don't work. We watched as people were quarantined on ships. It didn't work. What are some other things you're observing that you think people can be doing? Let's be proactive.
Sure. But let me just comment, because you're so right. We're seeing these outbreaks in hospitals, prisons, nursing homes, churches, anywhere that people congregate. And so the best thing we can do is follows. I mean, certainly use personal hygiene, wash your hands frequently, don't go near somebody who's sick. If you're sick, either stay home or see a doctor immediately. From the public health point of view, what we need to do is be really rigorous in finding everybody that's got flu-like symptoms that could be COVID-19. And ask them to be isolated or quarantined in their own homes.
Well, how do we do that, Larry? Because if somebody's got a flu-like symptom in the middle of Italy, and they don't know who the ground zero patient there was yet, they don't quite know who brought the infection into the country. So every single person, because nobody knows who's been in contact with somebody who may or may not have symptoms of it, every single person needs to be tested who has a flu symptom?
Well, if they have a flu symptom, yes, they should be tested. But you're making an important insight. There is a point where you can contain an outbreak the way I've suggested. So in the United States, for example, health departments have a pretty good idea who's infected, who's been exposed. But there comes a point, and the point may have passed in Italy. It may certainly has passed in Iran, Korea, where you can't do that. And then you just have to go to what's public health people call mitigation, you know, trying to temporarily close down major congregate events, you know, big sporting events, or you may even have to close schools for a short period of time. These things can delay it, but ultimately, if this is a fast-moving epidemic, we're probably not going to be able to do it, and we're going to have to race for a vaccine.
And the race is on for a vaccine. So you say certain moments, you know, keeping people contained in their homes, for instance, some of those moments have passed maybe in Italy and Iran. What can they be doing if the moment has passed? Or is there something you're seeing in other countries outside of the quarantines that they shouldn't be doing?
My big worry is that you've got it in Iran, in a region that is, you know, highly unstable. You know, imagine foreseeability that it will go to Syria or Afghanistan or sub-Saharan Africa, where you have weak health systems. Once that happens, I think, you know, we're really on the precipice of something really particularly bad.
We're seeing people in Syria, they don't have food or shelter. And so what would be not fatal, perhaps, in another population would be fatal there.
Absolutely. When you have people that are vulnerable, that are suffering from, you know, respiratory and other kinds of infectious diseases, or you're going to have many more deaths. What I'd like to see is for the United States to lead, just the way we did with Ebola in West Africa, where President Obama sought a $1 billion plus emergency fund.
That's Larry Gostin, professor of global health law at Georgetown University, director of the World Health Organization Center on Global Health. Professor, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.